We're going to turn, please, in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Last Wednesday evening, I said that I was going to come and look at the Lord's Prayer, the pattern prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. We had an introductory message last week emphasizing, as the Lord emphasizes here, that the prayer of the Christian is to stand in stark contrast to the prayers of the hypocrite. And I showed you then that there are really three matters of Christian living that the Lord addresses here together. There's the issue of giving, the issue of prayer, and the issue of fasting. And out of those three, the one that's given most prominence as far as words are concerned is the issue of prayer. And of course we understand that prayer does take precedence over giving and fasting. Giving and fasting, of course, are important, they have their place, but prayer is part of the daily life of the Christian. We will read, please, from verse 5. From verse 5, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we'll end there, knowing the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. And it's verse 6 that I want to think about especially tonight, again really forming an introduction to the messages that will follow. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." Sir Isaac Newton was one of the most famous scientists of all time. It was Newton that penned the laws of gravitation and motion. He carried out extensive study in the secret of light and colour. He once said, "I can take my telescope and look millions and millions of miles into space, but then I can lay my telescope aside, go into my room and shut the door, get down on my knees in earnest prayer, and see more of heaven get closer to God than when I'm assisted by the telescopes and material agencies on the earth." And surely in those words, Newton was emphasizing the importance of the truth that is before us. The Christian is to get alone before the Lord. He is to have this place of secret prayer. Now, as we saw last time, the Lord is contrasting in these words the prayers of the hypocrites and the prayer of the sincere, the genuine Christian. And the major distinction between these two, and we looked at some of these things last time, but the major distinction is that the true prayer warrior will give himself to private prayer, but the hypocrite has no interest in private and secret prayer. The hypocrite, his concern is only to be seen by man. So every Christian is to have a closet, not necessarily a cupboard where they go to pray, although if that's what you want to do, that's certainly more than allowable. But every Christian is to have a place to pray. Remember, in New Testament times, homes had a flat roof, and very often this flat roof would be a place to rest. a place to spend in the afternoon heat, obviously in a shaded place on the roof. But over the porch or the entrance of the house was a small room. And this small room was built onto the walls then of that entry into the home. And it was, as far as I've read, the only place in the home then that was locked. So it was up on the roof, but it was a lock. There was a door there. And if someone went into that closet, they were out of sight, in a sense, out of mind. The Lord really is saying here, find a quiet place. Find a place where you won't be disturbed. And I think we can draw from this that it is good for us to have a place where we can go to pray. It's good to have a place in our home where we are able to go and to spend time in prayer. Also, surely, the Lord is saying it's good to have a set time for prayer. Now, the Lord, of course, doesn't say here you have to pray for 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at lunch, 30 minutes in the evening, because ultimately that is going to lead to something that is formalized and cold. And that's the very thing that the Lord is speaking against. And yet, surely there is here this idea of habit. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Shut the door. There's this idea of a pattern as far as a place, and as suggesting, a time. And of course, our schedules can differ one day to another, and so the time might differ equally. The busyness of our homes differs from day to day, and therefore the place might differ as well. But it's good to have a place and a time set aside. A secret prayer certainly was the practice of great Old Testament and New Testament saints. We think of Abraham. Remember, after the two angels continued on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham continued to speak there with the Lord, and he was really pouring out his heart in secret prayer as he was praying for the sparing of those cities on account of the righteous. We think of that night in Genesis 32 when Jacob wrestled with the Lord all night and then clung on to the Lord. Jacob was left alone. It was secret prayer. Daniel went into his house, Daniel 6. The windows were open. He prayed toward Jerusalem. And remember how he was engaged in that prayer. Now, he didn't open the windows in order to draw attention. It just had been the practice. But as he went there, it was more rather this idea, I will pray as I have done before, in secret. In Acts chapter 10, we read of Peter. This was previous to the scene with Cornelius. Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. It may even be that when he went up to the roof that he went to this closet that I've mentioned. There certainly was this secret place of prayer. And our Lord, of course, during his ministry, prayed much in private. He put his seal upon private prayer. A number of times we read of that. One example, Mark 1:35, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. Some place out in the open air was his closet, and he went there to pray. I've entitled the message, The Secret of Secret Prayer. The Secret of Secret Prayer. And I want us to see, first of all, the compulsion for secret prayer. This isn't an optional extra in the life of the Christian. Every Christian is to have secret prayer. Now, of course, I'm not speaking against the importance of public prayer. The fact you're here tonight is an evidence that you believe, rightly, in public prayer. But the emphasis here is on secret prayer. In verse 6, thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father. So it doesn't say, if you happen to want to pray, but it's when you do it. And so the Lord really is saying, this isn't something that we can debate about whether you should do this or not. We don't need to have a discussion group set up to examine if secret prayer is viable in the life of the Christian. We are to do it. When? When you pray. The secret prayer is a natural response. Thomas Manton, he said, in vain he is called a preacher that never preacheth. So he is vain who is called a Christian and never prayeth. Remember after Saul of Tarsus, as he was there, Paul met the Lord in the Damascus Road. And then remember how Ananias was told that Saul was now in Damascus. And Ananias was terrified with the thought that he was going to go and speak to Saul of Tarsus. But the Lord said, behold, he prayeth. Prayer, as one of the hymns says, is the Christian's natural breath, the Christian's native air. It's the most natural response to cry it on to the Lord. You think of when the baby is born, the baby cries out. When we have been given the gifts of faith and repentance, the evidence of the new birth, there'll be prayer. There'll be a call. Secret prayer is a natural response. The secret prayer is a necessary response. In Luke chapter 18, in the verse 1, it says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're not to give up. And the Lord then told that parable of the widow and the unjust judge. And so this widow had an adversary. And she came continuously with her case to the judge. The judge was a hard, unjust man. He had no concern for that lady. She kept coming. The Lord said, we are to be like her. Men ought always to pray. And the Lord wasn't saying that he's an unjust judge. Not at all. He's the opposite. The Lord is a good God. How much more then we ought to keep coming to him. Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. And of course those four words, supplication, prayer, intercession, giving of thanks, they're all different aspects of prayer. Pray, pray, pray. This is necessary in the life of the Christian. And we think of all the attacks that we see against the work of God in general, and then against the individual Christian, the attacks of Satan. It surely shows us that we need collective prayer. We need meetings like this, and we need more collective prayer. But we also need to pray privately for the Lord's preservation to be upon us individually. I think the fact that there is so much opposition to private prayer would show that it is so opposed by the devil. If your phone is going to ring during the day, the sure time it'll ring is when you go to pray. If the post is going to bring a parcel, the sure time that he's going to knock on the door is when you've gone to pray, or some other issue brought to your attention. Maybe even in your own mind, you think about something you have to get for the meals at the weekend, or something that needs to be done in the garden. It comes to your mind when you pray. Surely it's the evidence that Satan wants to disrupt us when we come to pray. But that ought to drive us even more to pray. We think of the busyness of life, and our lives are busy. What an awful thing to neglect private prayer. Are any of us more busy than Moses was? Remember, Moses' father-in-law came to him. And Moses' father-in-law really was saying to Moses, your workload's too heavy. You're going to have to share it out a bit. 70 men were appointed as judges to assist Moses. Now, maybe I look at this too simplistically, but it suggests to me that Moses was doing the work of 71 men. And yet, Moses was able to spend 40 days up the mountain engaged in with the Lord in prayer. 40 days in communion with the Lord. Are we busier than Moses? We think of David. Isn't there so much evidence that David was a man of prayer? What a busy man. Yet he had that secret place of prayer. Daniel, as I've mentioned, a senior government official. I'm sure there were continual knocks on his door, continual information being relayed from to him, and information sought to be relayed from him. Three times a day he could go and pray. Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer. And we could go on and busy man who prayed. And we have time for work. We have time for leisure. Time for holidays. What an awful thing if we say, I have no time for prayer. I mentioned last week that our attitude to private prayer is closely associated with public prayer. So there are sometimes people will say, I don't need to come to the public prayer meeting because I pray at home. Now, undoubtedly, there are some that genuinely cannot come to the public place of prayer, and they do pray at home. Even some who set the time apart when God's people are praying publicly, and that they do pray at home. Others sometimes, I think, tell a lie when they say, I don't need to pray in public because I pray at home. The truth is that they do neither. Because if we engage in private prayer, the natural thing is that we would want also to be with God's people in prayer. Thomas Brooke said, he that neglects private prayer shall be neglected by God in his public prayers. And he was really taking it a step further than what I've just mentioned. He was saying, not only would people who neglect private prayer be prone to neglect public prayer, but it could be that they come to public prayer, just as the hypocrites did in Matthew chapter 6, but because they haven't had the sign of sincerity in private prayer, why would we expect their prayers to be answered when they pray publicly? We must see the importance of private prayer. Not to pray privately is a sin. Remember, the Lord, speaking through James, said, James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, surely the Lord has made it clear it's a good thing for the Christian to pray. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's a neglect then, a sin of omission to neglect prayer. It will open the door to sins of commission if we neglect private prayer. So there's this compulsion. Come to pray when thou prayest. But I want to see then, secondly, the benefits of privacy in secret prayer. The benefits of privacy in secret prayer. And I did mention some of this last time, that there's something very special about those times that it's just the Christian alone with the Lord. And the Lord is seeking to drive that home in these particular words. And so in verse 6 it says, thou. And remember in the Authorized Version that the thous are singular. So where it's thou, thy, that is you singular. Where it's you and ye, it'll be you plural. And so here when it says, thou when thou prayest, it's not the Lord saying, when you all pray. No, he's speaking very specifically, when you as an individual, when you pray, enter into thy closet. So it's just you singular. When thou hast shut thy door. You can see it the whole way through here. It's the same singular number as far as the second person is concerned. You singular. Now why is the Lord emphasizing this? Because he is saying that when you go into that closet, it's just you and the Lord. There is this privacy. And there's a blessing in being alone. One blessing is that there will be less interruptions. Go into the closet and close the door so that no one knows you are there, that no one is thinking about you being there, that you aren't going to be disturbed by other things. You think of going into the closet and closing the door, you're not looking out at all of the things that need done. And remember, the roof was used for many things back in those days. Sometimes the harvest would be brought up to the roof to dry, and if someone just went to the roof to pray, they could look and see all of these jobs that still needed to be done. Going into the closet, you shut all that out. No interruptions. Shut out the world, shut in with Christ. No interruptions. But I think there's also the idea of no restraint. You see, in public prayer, there naturally has to be some restraint. There are times when we pray about a matter and we have to be very careful about the language that we use. We have to be very careful about how we pray about various situations. We might be praying about something and we know various details about it, but we shouldn't be divulging that private information. The prayer meeting should not be a gossip shop. Or it could be that there's some area of controversy and we're not seeking to spoil the prayer meeting by praying very specifically in a certain direction in relation to that controversy. So, of necessity, at times there does have to be restraint in public prayer. But you see, we don't have that in private prayer. In private prayer, it's just you before the Lord. And if you're convinced of a certain thing in your mind, well, you can pour your very heart out before the Lord. Or some situation that really burdens your mind and you're not able to speak at length with others about it, but you can speak at length with the Lord about it. The benefit of privacy in secret prayer. And then I want to see, thirdly and finally, the expectancy in secret prayer. In verse 6 again, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And surely the Lord is saying here, when you go to pray, go expecting something. You're going in secret, but the Lord will bless you. The Lord will reward thee openly. And so here the Lord is assuring his people of his observation. Your prayer will be very different than the hypocrite. He just stood at the street corner hoping everyone would see him. You have gone with the absolute opposite intention. You just want to get alone before the Lord. But you remember that the Lord sees. Thy Father which seeth in secret. The Lord said, I see you. And there's assurance of the Lord's reward. The Lord shall reward thee openly. Now in the English Bible, the word reward really comes out as the key, one of the key words in this whole passage. So in verse 1, where it's talking about the almsgiving, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And yet at the end of verse 2 it says, they have their reward. And then in verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 5 at the end of the verse, verily I say unto thee, they have their reward. Now in verses 1 and 2 and 5, they have their reward. And the word here has the idea of wages or a repayment. It's the same in verse 6 where it's talking about the fasting. That's the hypocrite fasting, sorry. He has his reward. The idea really is here that the hypocrite, whether it's in almsgiving, prayer, or in fasting, what he has wanted is the praise of men. So he has given so that men would praise him. He has prayed out in the street corner so that people would say, oh, what a wonderful guy that is. Or they've fasted and they've made sure their face looks a bit gaunt so that people will say, oh, that guy really must be doing long hours of fasting. All they wanted was for men to take notice. The Lord says they have their reward. They got their wages. They get that. Men will take notice. And some will step back and say, what wonderful men they are. But when the Lord then says at the end of verse 6, thy Father which saith in secret shall reward thee openly. It's actually a different Greek word. So the English word is the same, but it's a different Greek word. This time, it doesn't have the idea of mere wages. It has the idea of yield. So not merely getting what you've earned. It has the idea of a reimbursement, of a yield. In other words, the Christian has asked for much, but he gets more than he has asked for. That's really what the Greek word is saying. And so he didn't go to pray in order to get the attention of man. He went to the Lord, or she went to the Lord, with these various petitions that they were bringing. But the Lord will reward thee openly. The Lord will reward thee openly. You did it secretly, but there'll be an open reward. Somehow, the Lord is going to not only bless you in your own soul, but you'll be a blessing to others. Though, of course, they haven't even seen you in prayer. But somehow you will be a blessing to others. Perhaps this is illustrated in Daniel. Remember how he went to pray. And though his prayer wasn't entirely secret in the sense that there were those that looked in and saw him, but he had gone with the intention of getting before the Lord. He went and shut the door, prayed to the Lord, which is in secret. The Lord rewarded him openly. The lions did not touch him. And of course, the news of that was known. The lions did not touch him. Darius made a decree concerning the living God. Daniel is said to have prospered. He went secretly, but the Lord rewarded him openly. And we think of Paul after his conversion, and as I've said, he was praying secretly. The Lord rewarded him openly, set him apart to be a servant of the Lord. And in Hebrews 11, verse 6, then it says, the Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I said earlier that I've entitled the message, The Secret of Secret Prayer. And really, what is the secret of secret prayer? It's in the opening words of the Lord's Prayer, as we'll come to look at them. Our Father. Our Father. You see, those hypocrites, as they go to pray, they're not interested at all in the relationship between God and them. They have no relationship with the Lord. It's all just for show. But the Christian, when he goes to the closet, shuts the door, he's assured the Lord will hear. I pray to my Father, which is in heaven. May the Lord help us to be those that not only pray in a public meeting like this, but get to the private place when you pray, when thou prayest. Enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray. Pray. Don't merely daydream. Don't merely have a reflection. Go in, shut the door, and pray. Pray to your Father, which saith in secret. May the Lord take his word and bless it to all of our hearts. Amen.